I will trust in the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Humble us under you. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, have your way. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
A day that we've never seen before.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. So this day, Lord, we are blessed. Hallelujah, for you have allowed us to see it, to praise your name, and to give your name glory,
yes,
and honor, Lord.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you continue as we raise our hands,
yes, Lord,
and we come to listen to you,
yes,
that you will continue to build,
yes,
this house.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus, that you will build,
yes,
this house, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
We're not talking about distance, but,
yes,
in our souls, God.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus,
name
that
of
you
Jesus.
Will fill this house, God. Let this place be the temple, God. The temple that you found worthy to work in, God, in the name of Jesus. Give us an understanding, God, of your will in our lives, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, as we seek you, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, Holy Spirit, go even down into the marrow of our bones and heal us right now, God, in the name of Jesus, and deliver us, God, from that which we need deliverance from, God, so that you may use us and that you may be able to flow freely, God, and do the will that you have to do in this place today, in this soul today, in this soul today, in this soul today, in the name of Jesus,
in
this soul today, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I surrender to you, God, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Bless this place, Lord, heal this man, God, in the name of Jesus. As we seek you, God, those who are on their way, keep them from hurt, harm, and danger, God. Get them here safely, Lord. Those who can't make it, Lord, continue to bless them in a mighty way, God. Hallelujah. Satan, I'll find you in the name of Jesus. I stand against you, God.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. The Spirit of God is against you. You have Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. And come in like a flood. When the Spirit of God stood up and stood against you, we are standing against you. And we stand on that standing in the name of Jesus. Bless your faith. Bless your word. Bless your name, God. In the name of Jesus. Bless this house. Bless this home in Jesus' name. Each home that is represented, bless in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for what you are doing.
We thank you,
have your way in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Have your way.
And amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
God.
Thank you, Jesus.
We worship Christ. Hallelujah. We worship Christ. Hallelujah. We lift our hands.
Hallelujah.
me do. We worship Thy Lord. We worship Thy Lord.
We worship Thy Lord.
We I am
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be glorified.
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 Be glorified
That's what I was thinking. Take all the glory, all the glory.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we worship you. Heavenly Father, we bow ourselves before you. We cast ourselves at your feet, Jesus. We cast all the glory that we have at your feet, Jesus. We cast all the honor that we have at your feet, Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, we worship you in truth and in spirit this morning. We raise our hands unto you. We honor you above everything else. Oh, God. Accept our sacrifice of worship.
Oh, yes.
Let us be acceptable before you. Oh, Lord God, we thank you that you are our Father.
Yes.
That we can come freely before you and worship you.
Oh, yes.
And we say, what a privilege to be a servant, a worshiper of the Most High God. God, we say thank you for this morning. As your spirit continues to minister to the individuals in this place, let your word come forth. Let your word speak to each and every one of us. Let your word prepare each and every one of us and build each and every one of us. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, that we will be able to resist any blast that the enemy will bring our way. That we will be able to overcome any trouble that the enemy will bring our way. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we bless your holiness. We bless your precious name. And Lord, we acknowledge your lordship over each and every one of us this morning. We acknowledge your supremacy over our lives. We acknowledge who you are in our lives, in our family, in our finances, in every aspect of our lives. Lord, we glorify you and we exalt you above the mountain, above the sky that you have created. And we thank you for being our God.
Yes.
In Christ Jesus, we pray. And our hearts are glad and happy this morning because of who you are.
Yes.
And because of what you've done and because of what you're going to do. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a wonderful time before the Lord.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes.
There was a commercial that was on TV for quite some time asking people that are looking for a premier place of worship to come. And we thank God that we're not looking for a place, a premier place of worship, just a place to worship.
Amen.
God.
Amen.
There to be.
Amen. In
the presence. Hallelujah.
Amen.
To be with those who are calling upon the name of the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
That just reminds me a bishop that went to a place where he was invited to speak, and he said the people cannot sing. If they are not, then he was sitting there frustrated, wondering why these people are put up there to sing. And don't they know that these folks can't sing? And he kept criticizing these people, and the man said to him, they are worshiping me.
Amen.
Amen.
They are worshiping me.
Amen. Amen.
And at that point, he realized how fool he was.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We can all worship
thank
the Lord.
God.
Hallelujah.
Thank God.
Whether we have
thank a God.
Hallelujah. We want to worship the Lord. And in truth and in spirit. Hallelujah. We thank God.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
amen.
Lord. Don't have to please man.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Then, today I'm going to talk about something that maybe it will kind of shake you a little bit, because the title is Anticipating Evil. Mm-hmm. Anticipating Evil. This is a topic that the church or the Christian don't preach about most of the time. That is one of the topics. You ain't going to go to church and they're going to tell you to anticipate evil. Mm-hmm. If you start preaching that, you know, folk will leave because that's not what they expected. They have enough people in their lives to come to you, and here you go to telling them to anticipate evil. Mm-hmm. But the truth of the matter is, you must anticipate evil if you are a Christian.
Amen. Amen.
If you are ready, let me take you to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, verse 3. Anticipating evil. Proverbs 22:3. Hallelujah. Proverbs 22, verse 3. Are you there?
The Bible says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but a simple person and are punished. A prudent man foreseeth the evil. A prudent man, as far as the Bible goes, and as far as salvation is available today, Jesus came and died, and he is alive again. A prudent man is a born-again Christian. So that word prudent can be replaced with a born-again Christian foresee evil. Are you there?
Amen. Amen.
Before I continue, let me tell you a little story. You know, I grew up with trouble, and I'm still in trouble. But I know one day it will be over.
Amen.
But about a year before I get married, the Lord allowed me to see a vision of a long time of trouble ahead of me after marriage. And I said, Lord, no, don't let it be. Don't let it be. I don't want my wife and children to have to go to trouble with me. If there's anything I can do to experience this kind of trouble ahead of time of the marriage, so let me experience it. As soon as I said that, in the vision, the Lord turned his back on me. Turn it back on me, that simply means he's not going to engage me on that issue. This is what it's going to be, and that's what it's going to be. There's no contract to look at, there's no negotiation. So after I saw the vision, it kind of troubled me a little bit. Because it was there, I was awake, I wasn't sleeping, I was awake. So I realized at that moment that I have a hardship ahead of me, a hard time ahead of me. For 7 years of marriage, I've experienced 7 years of hardship. All the way to the birth of my children. All the way to Samuel being diagnosed with diabetes. All the way to today. I foresee this evil ahead of me. And there was nothing I can do to change it. Either whether to shorten the time or to go around it, there was nothing I can do. What I want you to see here is that a prudent man must live with anticipation of evil. If you are a Christian, you must anticipate evil. You say, why? Let me give you another example. Oh, let me explain this to you. As a Christian, there's two sets of destiny ahead of each and every one of us. A non-Christian has one destiny, which is the natural destiny. That destiny is molded or fashioned by the natural environment. It is fashioned by the experience of that person. It's fashioned by the education of that person. It is fashioned by the system of this world. Pretty much, you can't really change that. It is what it is. And a Christian, in addition to that, has the predestined destiny, which is the plan of God concerning that person's life. Are you there?
Amen.
And that destiny starts at the very moment you say, I said, Jesus.
Amen.
That destiny.
Amen.
And one thing about that destiny is that you can't jump over any process of it. Mm-hmm. It's like a book. You have to open the first page. And you read what's on the first page, and then you move on to the second page. You can't jump to the last page and be able to tell what the book is all about. Because there will be critical information in the middle of the book that may even define the very beginning or the end of the book. So if you read the first page and the last page and you say, oh, I know everything is in there, then you fool yourself. But now, at the book, you can go through as you want. You can open the third page without opening the second page. But as far as God's destiny for your life is concerned, you have to open it page by page. You can jump over it. So trouble must be waiting for every believer. And I'm going to explain a little further. Let me give you an example of a child. When a child is born, everybody rejoices, right? Everybody just sees this child, oh, okay, one day he's going to grow up. But the child has to go through a process. Well, when a child comes to a place where that child has teeth, you are happy because you don't have to buy baby food anymore. If you used to make them, you don't have to make those anymore. But for that child to have teeth, to be able to chew food, that child must experience pain. That child will not grow teeth without experiencing pain. Because the teeth have to break through the gum. Sometimes the child will experience fever, sometimes diarrhea, sometimes all kind of stuff. Simply because teeth is coming out. Are teeth bad things? No. Teeth are good things. But for them to come out, the child must experience pain. You can give that child a painkiller to make the child feel good, but whatever the body is experiencing, you cannot change that. Mm-hmm. You can't change what the body is experiencing at that very moment. No, there's no way around it. There's no medication for that. Because what? Teeth are coming out, and the child must experience pain. The body will have to go through certain things. So, it is for you and me. So, when the child started growing, getting to that place, then you have to be ready and knowing that this child is going to experience pain. Doesn't matter how much you love that child, and you don't want the child to experience pain, the child will have to experience pain. If you want the child to grow, if the child is 15-year-old and not it, then there's a problem. But it's good for you to prepare yourself and see that child experience that pain at the appropriate age and allow those teeth to grow. And when it becomes maybe 9 years old, then that child can do whatever he has to do in life based on where the requirements are as far as teeth are concerned. A prison man fears the evil. Hallelujah. And hided himself. Now let me take you to Proverbs 27, verse 12. A couple chapters, the chapters down there, 27, 12. Are you there? Mm-hmm. And a prison man foresees the evil and hided himself by the simple person and are punished. The same words. Nothing has changed. What does that mean? David said, God spoke once, I hear it twice. Mm-hmm. If God said it once, then you didn't hear it. He said it the second time, you should hear it four times. If he said it third time, you should hear it six times. Yes. A prudent man foresee evil. Are you there? Mm-hmm. This is interesting.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm.
Evil in the life of a believer is essential for growth. Mm-hmm. Evil in the life of a believer is essential for strength. Mm-hmm. Evil in the life of a believer is essential to have the crown of life. Because how are you going to know you overcome? Mm-hmm. If there has been no evil to overcome. Because he said to those who overcome, those who stay till the end, to them I will give the crown of life. Hallelujah. So this is what we are experiencing. This is what we are facing. As far as evil is concerned, we have the general world evil, which the Bible speaks about. That is the end time pain. That one, there's nothing we can do about it. Then you have the evil that comes from the satanic force is that they fall upon you. And then you have those that will have to come. Those that will have to come, that are part of your destiny. The punishment of God are not evil. Keep that in mind.
Amen. Amen.
No good parent punishes his child because he wants to destroy that child. Every good parent punishes his or her child because he wants that child to be good. And when you punish your children, you must punish them in love. God does not punish us because he hears us.
Amen.
That's why David understood that, and he said, Lord, don't let men punish me.
Amen.
Because men will show me no
mercy.
Yes, because somewhere in there with you, you will show me mercy.
Amen. Amen.
I want you to punish me. So the punishment of God are not evil. They are punishment. They are for correction. They are to steer us away from destruction. Are you there?
Amen.
Let me take you to the book of John. John chapter 12. John chapter 12, let's start with verse 18. Let's start with verse 20. John 12:20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came out to worship at the feast. The same came for tell to Philip, which was a Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we will see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. That is the very first thing Jesus said. That the Son of Man should be glorified. Now, this is chapter 12. We are in chapter 12 of the book of John. Now, remember this. In chapter 11, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Okay? And that miracle was one of a kind of miracle. And because of that, the name of Jesus spread very fast. So everyone wants to see this man who performed that miracle. So the Greeks came here to see Jesus. And the first thing Jesus will say after the word gets to him that a certain Greek, they are Gentiles. They are not even the Jewish people. They are not even Jewish. They are Gentiles. He said, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. The Son of Man should be glorified. And the Son of Jesus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if he dies, he bringeth forth much fruits. He started talking about glory. And what glory has to have to do with death and pain? There's no glory unless there's pain first. There will be no glory unless what? The sin first die. So in your Christian walk, you have to expect this. The wheat, the seed, go down into the ground, die, stay there alone, and then come back and bring forth fruit. And the strong 7 said, He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Are you following what he's saying here? Verse 27, pay attention to that. Now, if my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour.
Amen.
For this
Amen.
Cause. So in the Amen. Destiny, in the God predestined destiny for Jesus, he was planning there that he will suffer, that he will endure pain, that he will live a long
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
He was molded into his God-given destiny.
Amen.
And he said, well, if you want to be my servant, if You serve me. Verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Follow me. What does that mean? Become like me and do as I do. Yes. Because what? Disciple, what it means to be a disciple is that you follow the man pass on what he's doing unto you, his character, his everything that he is, and when he's no longer there, you carry on what he's been doing.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So he said,
amen.
For any man to serve me, for any man serve me, let him follow me. And what I am, that shall also be. So in order for you to be where Jesus is going to be, you must follow him. And when you follow him, you will experience predestined pain.
Amen.
He said the hour is come. Verse 27 again. Now is my soul troubled. He's God. Why his soul will be troubled? Because what? Look at 22, chapter of the book of Proverbs. Verse 3. A prudent man foresees.
Yes.
He foresees the trouble ahead of him.
Mm-hmm.
He foresees the trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But how can he escape?
Right.
Oh no, he cannot escape that.
Can you escape?
And he said it in the verse 27, Father, save me from this hour.
Yes.
But he said,
but.
For this cause.
But.
For this cause. What is the cause?
Mm-hmm.
To experience death.
Mm-hmm.
To experience pain. To be beaten, to be spared on, to be, and so on and on, and the list goes on. For this cause, came I unto this hour. But remember, before he talk about all this, in the verse 33, he said, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified.
Yeah.
Is that what he's talking about when you refer to glory? No. The glory is ahead of time. But to get to the glory, he has to go through this.
Yeah, you go through that.
How do you want to be glorified and don't want to experience the pain? That just can't happen. Pain is a part of the game, we say, right? No pain, no gain. Let me take you to Matthew 26. It will not be long today.
Preach on.
Matthew 26. We're going to look at verse 36 to 39. Then cometh Jesus, 26, 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. So, I talk about the pain, the predestined pain. You know, the pain that comes through the work of evil, through the work of Satan, you know, he's planning his demons and all these things. Those are the things that you can just say, in the name of Jesus. And you keep that under control.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things.
Mm-hmm.
Don't conform everything here. No. When snake come up against you, spiritual snake, shut your mouth and sit down.
Mm-hmm.
They have to obey.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But when it's time for you to pick up your cross, you don't have to
leave it. Amen.
When you have to pick up your cross and walk after Jesus, you don't. In the name of Jesus, demon that catch you doesn't work.
Amen. Amen.
That's why there are times you shut the demons, you put a shackle on them, you pull the door down, they hold it, and still nothing works.
Mm-hmm.
Because what? You don't make the difference between picking up your cross
and
the work of satanic
forces. Amen. 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 Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
So we must identify the pain that are God's plan molded and built into our prophetic destiny. Show me one prophet in the Bible that has no pain.
Amen.
And I'll tell you he's not in the Bible.
Amen.
Now show me one. There isn't.
right.
Show me one prophet that had it smooth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, it wasn't in there.
Amen.
Show me Jesus the Messiah that came as the King of the world, riding on the horses of heaven, and just kill the devil and say salvation unto you. And I'll tell you, that's not the Jesus of the Bible.
Amen.
Because the Jesus, the Messiah that I know that came, he came as a baby. He grew up. He was persecuted. He had to run for his last time after time. Until the hour was finally there.
Mm-hmm.
Are you there?
Amen.
So pain, we must identify what kind of pain it is. Is it God's punishment? God is doesn't take any pleasure in punishing.
Amen. Amen.
Because it, that does not happen often. There are times you stare up with stars, yeah. But that is not the reason why God woke up every morning to just punish you.
Amen.
The parent that woke up every day to punish his child is a bad parent.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. Jesus could have punished Peter. Peter, you've been with me for so long, and now you come back, bang in the head. Mm-hmm. He could have given him one, at least. Mm-hmm. Peter said, hey, no, you ain't taking my life. He pulled out the sword. Jesus said, come on, Peter, you've been with me long enough. My hour has come. Peter confirmed evil that comes through demonic forces and that and one that is built into the destiny, God giving destiny. Jesus prayed for him. And Jesus told him, when you become converted, pray for the others. The same Peter, after that Jesus was gone, went back fishing. Jesus had all the reason to tap him in the head. But that was not what he's here for. God is not here to just punish us.
Amen. 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 Thank God.
That's not what that's not what
thank God.
Identify the source of the evil you are experiencing. Is it molded into your prophetic destiny? If yes, go through it. That's why he said,
amen.
When you go through the valley of a shadow of death, I will be with you. Because why? He knows you have to go through it.
Mm-hmm.
He knows. Because why? He's the one with the destiny of each and every believer.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows we have to go through it somehow. And he said, I will be with you. He said, when the enemy comes up against you, I will leave the sinner. What does that mean? That doesn't mean you will not experience the pain.
Amen.
That doesn't mean you will not feel it. But it will not overtake you. That's what it means.
Amen.
It will not put you down to the grave. No. That's why you shouldn't be afraid when things are happening. Fear is an external force. Fear is an external force that comes to attack. Fear comes from outside and attack. Are you there?
Mm-hmm.
Fear. That's why I said to you, he said what? Fear not. He made reference to fear not 365 times.
Mm-hmm.
Every day God's word said, fear not.
Mm-hmm.
Before we came here this morning, the word of God said, fear not. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, Lord willing, you will wake up, he will say to you, fear not.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has spoken it 365 times. Mm-hmm. One for each day of your life. Now, telling you about the trouble in your situations and all this evil is not the point. The point is, how do you deal with them? Because we can all talk about trouble and get depressed at the end and go home. That is no solution to the problem. But how do you deal with them? Whether it's a predestined, whether it's molded and built into your destiny to experience, how do you deal with it? And we started looking at that with Jesus here. He said, my hour has come. He embraced the pain in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first thing he did. He embraced his pain. He said, for this cause, I came. So what? part of God's plan. So God, Jesus came for what? To die, to experience pain. Therefore, he must face it. And he faced it. Glory be to God. We are here today in our right mind because of that. Now, as for you, you have your to experience your cross. He said, pick up your cross, then follow me. So when the time comes and when you have to pick up your cross, what do you do? The first thing, you face it. You face it. When you know that's what it is, stop casting out devil and demons. Because it's a waste of energy. That energy, use it to carry the cross. Use that energy to carry the cross. Because there are times you can't even pray as a result of the weight of what you're experiencing, as a result of the pressure of what you're experiencing, as a result of the crushing. You will not be able to pray. That's why pray as much as you can. Well, everything is fine. Because those prayers rest in the cup that the 24 elders are holding in heaven according to the book of Revelation. And when trouble time comes, they turn those cups upside down. Those prayers will get down to earth to fulfill something. So Jesus faced his trouble. He embraced it. He accepted. Where are we? Matthew 26. Right? All right. And in 37, he said, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. That doesn't mean you will not be sorrowful. That doesn't mean you won't be heavy. That's why we come to church sometimes. We all heavy.
Amen.
Nobody can even open his mouth and talk. And now you see the person that's trying to pump everybody else is also down like everybody else. Thank God it's not like that every Sunday.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. So Jesus was sorrowful. He was very heavy. Then he said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. Don't pretend.
Amen.
Do not pretend. Amen. Whatever you are experiencing, be able to speak them. Be able to say what it is.
Amen.
When you go to your doctor, do you like your doctor? Oh, no, there's no pain there. I'm just fine. I said, okay, go. You try to tell him everything, including those you are not experiencing to this. He can give you something ahead of time. No, look, you tell him everything that you're experiencing. So why do you think it's okay to just stand there and pretending, oh, I'm building my faith. That's what I feel a lot of Christians. Lying in the name of faith.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, it's not under there. Listen, do you still have faith? No. By faith, it's no longer. That's not what I ask you. Is the pain
still there?
Yes. No.
No.
And sometimes they lie and they go home and you see them on the roadside dragging the leg. You see, not this one that just said he was so and now you are confused.
Jesus.
Amen.
Don't lie in the name of faith.
Glory to God.
You were asked a question. Yes or no, just answer the question. Yes, I'm still in pain.
Oh, yeah. Pray for me.
What the Bible says, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. If that prayer is not made, nothing will avail.
Amen.
Jesus.
Nothing happens unless the believer prays. So while you have a chance among the believers, express what is happening so they can pray.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So Jesus said, even unto death, study here and watch with me. He asked for help the very first time we see and the only time he asked. This was the only time. If you are one that never asked for any help, your time will come, you will find yourself in a place you will ask for help.
That's true.
That's just the way it is.
Amen.
If Jesus himself will ask for help, that means you that follow him will have to ask for help somehow. Maybe you are not there yet, but you will get there one day.
Yes. That's true.
That's the way it is. He said, follow me. And Paul said to people, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul expressed that he has by in his flesh. He expressed that. That he has a thorn in it. He expressed it. He prayed about it, and God didn't heal him. He said God did not heal him. God just said to him, my grace is sufficient. He didn't say, by faith, I'm okay. And driving the leg. No, he said it. So no pretend.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So the 39, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." So it is clear that your pain will get you to a place where you may even say certain things that you will have to turn around and correct them quickly. Because he said earlier, "For this cause I came."
For this cause.
And he said, "If it's possible, let this car pass me by."
Mm-hmm.
And he turned around and said, "Well," he said, "nevertheless, you know, let this car, if possible, let this car pass me by. But nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will." Your pain will shake your mind, your thinking process, mm-hmm. from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
You will get out of your head, but get back in your head quickly. Because when you are out of your head, you cannot worship God. Are you there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me take you to Luke 10:19. One of our favorite scriptures around here. Luke 10:19. Are you there?
You say Luke 1:10?
Luke 10. Okay. Chapter 10, verse 19.
Okay.
He said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, mm-hmm. and over all the power of the enemy." This, whatever evil comes from the enemy, you have some, you can do something about that mm-hmm. yourself. Mm-hmm. You can just handle
Amen.
That. You have
Amen.
The given power to handle that. That is no issue.
Amen.
When you come under attack, that is no issue. You have been given power to handle that. Rebuke it in the name of Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And let the
Hallelujah.
devil
Hallelujah.
obey whatever you say. Now, he continued to say, "And over all the power of the enemy." Now, listen, he said, "And nothing shall by any means hurt you." Now, that is not only pertaining to the
enemy.
What the enemy will do, mm-hmm. but to any evil across the board.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whether it's molded into your destiny, God-given destiny, or whether it's coming from satanic, what he said, by any means, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Therefore, anything you have to come across your life,
mm-hmm.
by no means to hurt you. You say, "But I've seen my leg shrinking." Oh yes, it is shrinking. By no means, nothing will hurt you. What do you mean? That's where faith comes in. That's where we start speaking faith. Yeah. That's when we speak faith. Oh, if the leg is cut, the Lord is capable of growing in a new leg. Oh, yes. Nothing by any means hurts you. Paul was put into the prison. He was kept out of it. But yet the Bible said what? Nothing shall hurt you by any means. Nothing. Nothing shall hurt you. So what is he doing in prison? Why is he not coming out if nothing will hurt him? Hey, folks, the plan of God is being fulfilled.
Amen.
The part
Amen.
Of his destiny to be in jail.
Amen.
Because if Paul had never been in jail, dialogue, you know what? We will not have the epistle.
All in letters. Amen. Amen.
So it was a plan of God. It's a plan of God's plan for Peter, for Paul, to go into prison. So you and me can read the epistle today.
Mm-hmm.
You should glorify God.
Amen.
That Paul went to jail.
Mm-hmm.
You should glorify God. Joseph glorified God after he came out of 19 years of waiting on God's promises,
mm-hmm.
after experiencing danger, prison, for things that he has not done. He realized that it was all a part of God's plan for him to get into the presence of Pharaoh,
mm-hmm.
to become what God said he would be. Nothing shall hurt you by any means. Joseph, all this time he experienced in the dungeon, wasn't a prison time. Everything that Jeremiah experienced, they said bread was running out. If we leave him there, he's going to die. They said, "Go and get him out." And I told you how they threw a rope down. And he had to put a rope around around himself and they pull him out. And how that rope can get into his skin. Mm-hmm. And cause pain because it cut all the blood flow around it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a five-star hotel. Mm-hmm. To wait for God's plan to be fulfilled. Is God ever giving you seven-star hotel to wait for his plan to be fulfilled? Glorify him. I don't know what to say. Yeah. But I've not seen one. I haven't seen one. Where he just prepared every wonderful place for things to happen for these people. He always takes them down to a place where they would not desire to be. That's where people meet those who bring them into the presence of the blessings. So he said, and nothing shall by any means fetch you, whether it's satanic plan or God's given destiny, it will not hurt you. It's any money. I don't care what happened now. I know I have somewhere to go. I know there's a vision to be fulfilled. I know there's a prophecy to be fulfilled. Therefore, it doesn't matter what happened from now until the fulfillment of the plan. I will not die. Because if I die, how will the plan be fulfilled? If Jesus died when the two-year-old were being killed, how will he die? How will he say, the hour has come for this cause I came? But this happened before he gets to the cross. Before he turned 30 to start his ministry, things happened. When he was two-year-old, remember they were killing the two-year-old boys. And his mother had to take him into the land of Egypt to find refuge. Mm-hmm. And remember, the land of Egypt is a land of sin. It's a place where the Jewish people were oppressed. And that's where the Messiah found refuge. In the land of sin. Mm. In the land of sin. That is the place where he shouldn't even go. But that's where he found refuge. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Mm-hmm. The first time I became a believer, I didn't want to have anything to do with the Muslims. But God taught me a very humbling lesson. When I was dying in Ghana and my fellow Christians didn't even care, it was the Muslims who stood for me. It was the Muslims! A little plate of food, they would wait for me for hours to come, we would eat it together.
Glory!
They would not eat and leave me a portion, no, they would wait for me to come.
Wow.
Because it wasn't enough for one person.
So move of God.
Move
of God.
But my fellow Christians.
Move of God.
Oh, they're getting fatter and fatter every day. Because they have more than enough to eat.
Walk on the other side.
They are getting fatter and fatter every day. So, when you're dealing with God, then just be open-minded.
Amen.
The Messiah find refuge in the land of sin. A place you will never think he will even go. Mm-hmm. Because what is he in the land of Egypt? He was sent to the Jewish people. What is he doing in the land of Egypt? Mm-hmm. Looking for refuge. Ladies and gentlemen, let's pay attention to what the Lord is saying to us.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I take where I didn't plant. You reap. He said, I'll give you a city that you have not built. Mm-hmm. Yes. You will harvest from the land. You didn't even put a seed down into the ground. So what are you thinking about? That's God. Let him do what he does. Let us just follow him.
Amen. Just follow him.
Hallelujah. So, let's keep it going. And let's turn to Luke 22. We're coming to an end. Luke 22, verse 40. Take it down to 44, down to 44 too. 41, 42.
Which one now? 41?
Luke 22, 40.
Or 40, okay.
Now he said here, and when he was at the temple, at the place, he said unto them, pray that he enter not into temptation. You see, in life, as far as Christianity is concerned, you are to experience sin. It doesn't matter who you are. Because what? In our destiny, let me just go and put it this way, very simple. One of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is what?
Long suffering.
That's one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you have everything that you need in this world, including good health, everything, then you ain't gonna have any long suffering. That's why somewhere in there you will be lacking in something. And when the Bible says the poor, you are poor in something. You may not be poor in money, but you are poor in something. Some people have the money. I told you, a cousin of mine, a friend of mine, they have so much money. And they build this mansion, and just him and his wife, and they're looking for children. When my cousin goes, they say, oh, your house is always clean, everything is neat, everything is set up. They have all Japanese decor here, they have Chinese decor here, they have European decor here, they have all kind of decor across the house, because the house is so huge. They said, yes, but you just don't understand. We want a little one to mess it up. That's what they're looking for in life. They are poor in terms of children. That's what their heart is after. They want every hospital around this globe that have a reputation for conception. That didn't happen. Money is not their problem. But you, what is your problem? That you are poor in something. Everyone is poor in something. If you are not poor in anything, you don't need God.
Amen.
Just keep that in mind.
Amen.
Because the poor need God. Yeah. If you are not poor in anything, then you don't need God. You are fine. That means you don't need salvation either. You are rich in your salvation. Mm-hmm. If you have good health, you have the money, you have everything, children, everything that is going on, then maybe you are poor in salvation. You need salvation. That's why we need to keep the rich also in our plan when we are talking mission. Mission is not just feeding the one that don't have food, but it's about minister to the need of the people. The need of the rich may be salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So pray that he enter not into temptation. So pray so you don't fall into a temptation that the enemy will bring your way.
Mm-hmm.
To minimize the trouble and the evil you will experience in life. You minimize them by staying in prayer. You will experience evil, but you know what? That is the one that is molded into your destiny. You will go through that. And you will be fine with it. Because what? The Spirit will build you up. Are you there?
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit will build you up. And let's keep it on. 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone cast and kneeled down and prayed. This is Jesus. That man, he's not praying. Saying, Father, if thou will be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy be done. Now, there was something that wasn't said in the book of Matthew that I'm going to show you here in the book of Luke. Because we read almost the same story earlier. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Matthew 26. Okay, verse 43, I'm sorry. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven. Strengthen him. That one we didn't read it from the book of Matthew. There appeared angel from heaven to strengthen him. When you have to go through pain or evil, that is a part of your destiny, and you are a man or a woman of prayer, just wait for the Holy Ghost to strengthen you.
Amen.
He will strengthen you. That's why Jesus said in the book of Luke, the 10th chapter, verse 19, that nothing will hurt you. When he said nothing will hurt you by enemy, this is what he's talking about. If you have to go through pain and evil that pertains to your destiny, the angel of the Lord, the Holy Spirit will be there to strengthen you. But as far as what the enemy will bring your way, you say in Jesus' name, and he surrendered himself. That pain shouldn't even be inflicted upon you. As soon as he starts, shut it down. Jesus said, devil, get thee behind me. Do you see that? There was nowhere in the scripture where Satan really inflicted pain on Jesus. The only pain Jesus experienced was the one that pertained to his destiny. When he was on the mountain after 40 days, 40 nights of fasting, devil came Jesus won the battle. Satan realized that this is not going anywhere, so he just let the man alone. Yes. So let it be for you also. As he come, he realized he ain't going anywhere with you, so he just leave you alone. Are you there? So, here we see that when Jesus, as he prayed, the angel of the Lord came and strengthened him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. More. Mm-hmm. Your pain determines what kind of prayer comes out of you. When you crush flour to release the perfume or the flavor or the whatever it is, depending on how well you crush that flour, you will get perfume. How much you get will determine how much you crush it. How much you squeeze olive will determine how much oil you get. So how much your pain crush you, that will determine the prayer that is being released out of you. The level of your prayer is determined most of the time by the level of your pain and need. When you are experiencing pain and need and you are not praying, there is something demonic going on. You are too busy doing stuff and you're tired and then you can't pray. Therefore, you keep experiencing pain and the time keep getting longer and longer, and the end of that pain keep getting further and further away from you. And being in agony, he prayed more intensely, and his sweat was as when great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Think about it.
Amen.
And we're going to close with Isaiah 54:17. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou. He said thou. He didn't say God. He said thou shall condemn. Any tongue, meaning it's an external force. Any tongue that rise to condemn you, thou shalt condemn. And how do you do that? Through prayer. I shut that tongue down in the name of Jesus. I shut that satanic, that demonic force down in the name of Jesus. It's an external tongue, force. He said, no weapon from against this shall prosper. So again, this goes back to what Jesus said. Okay? Nothing shall hurt you. Nothing shall hurt you. Luke 10:19. It's what we see here. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Close your eyes.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we condemn every tongue that speaks against us.
Amen.
Every demonic force that runs up against us, we shut down in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray this morning that your spirit encourage every heart, every soul, every spirit in this place. That every pain that is molded into our prophetic destiny, that we will go through it. As you promise that you will be with us, oh Father, through the body of the shadow of death, oh God, so let it be. Let your power be demonstrated. Let your presence be seen. Let the hand and the mighty hand of God be seen. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we condemn everything that the enemy brings. Hey, the spirit of fear, we shut you down, for the Lord said, fear not. Even this morning, he said, fear not. And he said, what for tomorrow? So in the name of Jesus, we bind the spirit of fear. We shut it down in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I pray that the strength of the Lord will rise in the people. As we have worshipped you in this place this morning, let your joy thank God and say amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Today is the first Sunday of the month, and we take communion in remembrance of Jesus Christ, our only Savior. Hallelujah. He that has given his life so we may have life.
Yes.
This morning we're going to eat the cracker, we're going to drink the juice in remembrance of Jesus. Not because we are hungry, but in remembrance of Jesus.
Amen.
In remembrance of his birth, death, resurrection, and coming to take us home. Hallelujah. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray over the cracker and the juice. We ask you to bless him.
Yes,
that today,
yes,
as we take the communion, our spirit will be one in accordance with your word. That we will remember everything you have said concerning this time and this season in which we are living. Lord God, that we will live as if Jesus is coming the next half an hour.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we pray that your spirit stir up our spirit, that we will have the mentality of heaven. Oh God, that as we continue, Lord, we will spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to every creation. That we will not forget the poor, that we will not forget the rich. Lord, we thank you and we bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Blessings and glory. Wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor, power and might belongs to our God.
Restore us, heal us, in Jesus' mighty name.
Welcome to House of Prayer International Ministry. This is the Holy Ghost working ground. Amen. Our vision, we are touching and transforming lives, communities, and nations with the power and love of Jesus Christ, bringing salvation and restoration. Our mission, House of Prayer International Ministries, is a place of refuge for all nations to provide instruction, leadership, inspiration, and encouragement to all, to equip its members for the work of the ministry, to edify the body of Christ, and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, bringing restoration and wholeness to mankind. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just a few announcements. Next Sunday is Mother's Day, and we will be honoring our mothers, saying a special prayer over them. We got a little gift for you guys. Also, May 23rd for our Pastoral Leaders Conference, it was discussed that we need to be by 7, so we'll be meeting here and departing by 7 o'clock in the morning, okay, May 23rd. The program begins at 9 o'clock in Queensville, Village, New York. Amen. And it's Vicki's birthday this month.
Oh,
yeah. Christmas is turning 6.
Aww.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right, we're going to turn it over into the hands of Minister Joyce to collect offering. If anybody has need the tithing envelope, I will. Okay, well, while she's doing that, you can work and we'll get ready to do the offering.
Amen. Let's not forget to press the young boy, Kumi. And the mission to Ghana. Yes, the pastor had told us a while back that the Lord is sending him to Ghana. So we ask that you continue to pray for that area. Let's not forget the building fund also. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you for this day, God. We thank you, Lord God, for the transition into this ministry, God, the ministry of giving. Oh, Lord, we ask right now that you bless those who are planting seeds into this house, God, that will be fruitful and multiply, God, reaching nations, God, across this world. Lord, we ask right now, God, that every seed planted, God, that it water those who are thirsty, God, give bread to those who are hungry, God, shelter to those who have no place to live, oh God, that, Lord, that the bread of life, God, and the rivers of living waters, God, will reach the nations, oh God, and that, God, that the destiny of the seed, God, will reach those who are in need of it. In your name we pray, amen.
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 The power of life belongs to our God.
Continue to release the sweet flavor and perfume of the Lord upon you. May every aspect of your life experience the blessings of God.
Yes.
May the Lord teach you how to navigate these rough waters of life.
Yes.
And
yes,
that you come out on top.
Yes.
May you experience God on your side. May this week ahead of you be the most blessed week you have ever experienced.
Oh, yes,
to the glory of our God, which is in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And God's people say amen.
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 Amen. Amen.